This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we are in a series entitled Disciplined Faith. Disciplined Faith. And faith is the most important subject that a believer needs to learn after getting saved. We understand that salvation, of course, is the most important subject. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believe in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. But once I'm saved, I'm saved. And now, I have to learn how to live this Christian life out. You got it? And so that is why I need faith. The Bible teaches us that the just shall live by faith. And so that's why we're in a series entitled Disciplined Faith. I have to be disciplined in faith if I'm going to see the things I'm believing for that are according to the word manifest in my life. If I have a subtopic today, I want to talk to you from the subject of overcoming obstacles. Overcoming obstacles. Obstacles are common to the believer. The Bible teaches us in Psalms, the 34th chapter and the 19th verse, it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. I'm so glad it did not stop there. It says, but the Lord delivers them out of them, what class? All, out of all of them. And so we have to know that no matter what comes, no matter what goes, no matter what it looks like, you got it, challenging times, rough times, God has made a commitment that he's never going to leave you, he's never going to forsake you, that he is going to be there with you. I saw someone post something the other day, and I took it and put it on my wall and just really added, it's kind of funny, and I just added a faith component to it. It says, I know that Jesus is supposed to take the wheel, but sometimes I feel like we're off-roading. And boy, I thought that was just the funniest thing. And so I put it on my wall, but I also added, you know, a faith component that sometimes in life it feels like that, but you've got to know even when it feels like that, God is never going to leave you. He's right there with you. He's going to help you come through it. I put 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 on my post as well, and there it is up on the screen. No test or temptation that comes your way is beyond the course of what others have had to face. All you need to remember is what? That God will never let you down. When things start going crazy and the enemy starts shooting all kind of fiery thoughts and people start acting crazy, if you can't remember anything, all you need to remember is that God will never let you down. He'll never let you be pushed past your limit. He'll always be there to help you come through it. And so the Bible teaches us about these obstacles, and the Bible teaches us that these obstacles are temporary and they can be overcome with faith. And so I've got to understand the importance of overcoming things by faith. A lot of times the enemy does this to get you distracted, to get you off focus, to take you from a place of faith over into a place of fear, to take you from talking what the word says to talking doubt and unbelief. And that is why the writer says that we cannot be ignorant concerning Satan's devices, all right? There's nothing new under the sun. He has his same old bag of tricks. He has no power over your life. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So you've got to hold fast to your profession of faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. Does that make sense? Amen. All right. That's a good place to clap. Amen. All right. And sometimes when the enemy tries to get you off focus, sometimes you got to refocus. All right. And let me talk to you, give you some points on how to refocus or when to refocus. I must refocus when, number one, when there are negative influences pulling on me. Sometimes there will be negative influences that pull on you. And that is why it is imperative that you hang around the right people. You got it. Birds of a feather do what? Flock together. You become like who you spend time with. And that's why I tell people the church you go to and the word you hear makes a difference. That's not a competitive statement. I know that there's other great churches out there. It has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with understanding that being in an environment of faith around people of faith will help produce your faith so you can get the victory, not in some areas, but in every area of your life. And you've got to know that it is the will of God for you to get the victory in every single area of your life. Don't just say, well, I am doing good over here and I am doing doing good over here, so I'll just let that go. That is a trick of the enemy. 2 Corinthians 2 and 14, the writer says, now thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. And so I always win no matter what it looks like. You always win to the degree that you're staying in faith and operating this word, you always win. Somebody say, I always win. Yeah, I mean, you are winning even when it looks like you're losing. You got it? So you have to stay in faith, and you have to stay around the right people, the right company. 1 Corinthians 15 and 33 says, do not be misled. Watch it. Bad company corrupts good character. Proverbs 13 and 20 says, become wise by walking with the wise. It says, hang out with fools and watch your life fall to pieces. So I have to refocus when there are negative influences that are pulling on me. That's number one. All right. Number two, I must refocus when thoughts of lack and sickness are dominating my thoughts. Sometimes the enemy will work overtime to make you think that, you know, that you're going to get a bad report from the doctor. You know, we're in what, March? And let's say, you know, you go to your yearly physical, and I pray everybody goes to a yearly physical in Jesus' name. All right. And don't be scared of the doctor. He's nothing to be scared of. Amen. All right. So I believe in that. I think you should go get checked out. I think you should get the different things that you should do. Lady LaConte and I have always done that. You're like, well, y'all are young. Well, you're not supposed to wait till you're old. You understand what I'm saying? That's something you do all the time, right? But if you're not careful, let's just say your yearly physical is not till September, you know, and it's March. The enemy won't mess with you right now. He'll wait till August. You know, he'll wait till about a month out saying, well, now, if I was you, I wouldn't even go because, you know, they could draw some blood and see something or take a test. And that is just a trick of the enemy to get you from a place of faith over to a place of fear. Man, you have to stay in faith. You got to say, no, I am going to the doctor and it's going to be my best checkup yet. All my levels going to be normal. All my tests going to come back good. He's going to satisfy me with long life and show me his salvation. So what happens when the enemy comes with those crazy thoughts, what you got to do is cast those things down and replace it with the word of God. Does that make sense? All right. 2 Corinthians 10 and 3 says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. It says the weapons we fight are not the weapons of the world. Now, normally you're used to me quoting this in KJV. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds. But just listen to this in the NIV because it makes a lot of sense. It says the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. So we don't fight the way the world does. It says, on the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Strongholds are houses of thoughts that reside in our mind that come from the enemy to make us think we're going to lose when we're actually winning. All right. It says, verse 5, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And that is the key, that when those negative thoughts come, that you don't start pondering on them, that you don't start thinking about it, that you don't allow the enemy to take you down a rabbit trail. As soon as a negative thought comes, you got to cast it down, replace it with the word of God, stay in faith, hello somebody, so you can see God do amazing things in your life, all right? So I've got to learn to refocus. So we said, number one, I refocus when there are negative influences pulling on me. We said, number two, I refocus when thoughts of lack and sickness are dominating my thoughts. Here we go. Number three, I refocus when I'm bombarded with an indoctrination contrary to the word of God. These are people that don't know the word or value the word, probably don't even go to church, but they have strong opinions. These are people that work on your job that don't go to church, but try to tell you why I'm teaching what I'm teaching you is wrong. You got it. And so this is what I have to help you with. Listen, don't waste your time fussing with folks. You got it. You have an hour lunch. You know you are hungry at lunchtime. Don't be like, well, I'm going to go get my Bible. I'm going to Google something. Don't be Googling some things, all right? Because Google can be good and Google can be bad, all right? And so, you know, you're going to spend your whole hour trying to fight back and forth with why Jesus bore your sickness and infirmity on the tree. No, we live by faith. If it says it in the word, I believe it, and I don't have to fight with anybody about anything. All right? I'm going to show you what the writer says, amen, in Romans 16 and 17. Paul teaches us in Romans and in 2 Timothy how to oppose this. Now, really, in Romans 16 and 17, he says, I beseech you, brethren, watch what he says, mark them which cause divisions and offenses that are contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. Watch what he says. He said, avoid them. You got it? Now, I don't have to avoid the person, but I'm avoiding those situations. I'm not going to be arguing with you and that kind of thing. If you want to talk about how the Cowboys are rebuilding and we're going to the Super Bowl next year, I will talk to you about that. All right, praise the Lord. Y'all didn't like that. But anyways, but what I'm not going to do, listen, you'll get a better argument from me out of that than you will, you got it, why Jesus didn't bore my sickness and infirmity on a tree. My father taught me a man with an experience is never at the mercy of a man with an argument. I have experienced Jesus for myself. I have experienced his power, his protection, his healing, his peace, and his joy. And I don't have to fuss with anybody because I know Jesus is real. Amen. Sound John P. Key, y'all know that song, Jesus is real. I know the Lord is real too. All right, that's all I got. That's all I got. That's all. 2 Timothy 2 and 23, it says, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid. Did you see what the Bible says? It didn't say go and waste your lunch and start fussing with people. You love them, hello somebody, but in that area, you just leave them alone. I'm not going to fight with you, all right? He says, knowing that they do gender strife, and the servant of the Lord, which is you and me, we are all servants of the Lord, must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient. Watch this. This is not, listen, y'all, this is not just when somebody brings up, you know, a scripture. This is in every area of our lives, all right? We have to be gentle unto all men. We have to be apt to teach, and we have to be patient. Can I get a... Right? And so, you know, I was telling the Lord, I was explaining to him that it's a balancing act, especially like if, you know, you were me and you grew up in the inner city or you grew up around a lot of rough people and like you kind of had to, you know, fend for yourselves or fight. You know, big guy like me, you know, I had to protect myself in the hood. You understand what I'm saying? You got it. You know, it is what it is. I got in my scraps, you know, when I was a kid. I had my share of them, but I'm sure I'm not the only one. I'm sure I got some other scrappers. And wave at me if you was a scrapper back in the day, years ago. Okay, yeah. So I'm not the only one. But why, you know, and honestly, you know, but my size, you got it, I had to be a good talker. Yeah. You got. I had to communicate very well. You got it, because you know I had to let you know you really don't want to come from me. You got like you might look at me, but you really don't want to come from me. You got it. And by the time I got done, they're like, man, that joker is crazy. We're gonna leave him alone. You got it. You know, and just you know, because I ain't gonna lie. I think especially in high school, I was crazy. I really was. Now I didn't do anything like really bad, but I was crazy. I would just make you think that I don't want to mess with that dude. Like that dude is going to be, on my doorstep at 3 a.m. in the morning. You got it? You know? And so anyways, but as we grow in Christ, we realize that that's not God's way. Am I right about it? It's not God's way, you got it, to go head to head with people. It's not God's way to let them know that you got something in the trunk. All they got to do is come find out about it. That's not God's way. Right? And so I told the Lord, Lord, that's a balancing act for some people who grew up having to be tough, having to do all that. And now we have to be renewed in our mind and change our way of thinking. And the same people that we used to would let them know about themselves. Now the Bible says, I got to find it. It says that we must be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient. Can I get a in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance, and we pray he does, to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, because when they're in that situation, they're just caught under the snare of the enemy, who are taken captive by him at his will. And so that's how we refocus. That's how we refocus. Now, let's move into the next part of this lesson. I want to show you some things that I must be if I'm going to overcome. If I'm going to overcome, and we know that that is the will of God for every believer to live an overcoming, victorious life, right? But the will of God is not automatic, right? He needs our permission and our participation to usher his will into our lives, right? You could have a bunch of money in the bank and have an ATM card, right? But and be hungry at the house, but you don't have any cash on you. And you can say all you want, I believe I receive that I'm full. I believe I receive that I'm not hungry. But unless faith without works is dead, unless you take that ATM and go put it in the ATM, get you some money out, and go to Bojangles and get you, you know, a three-wing dinner with some dirty rice, you got it, it's not going to work. Does that make sense? Yeah, and so faith without works is dead being alone. So in the same way it works like that, yes, Jesus wants me to live an overcoming, victorious life, and he's done his part, but I got to do mine. All right, so if I'm going to overcome, I must be, number one, purpose-driven. I must be purpose-driven, that God has a specific purpose and plan for my life, and I'm not going to let the enemy to talk me out of what God wants to do in my life. Like, I'm not here by mistake. I'm not here by happenstance, that he knew from the foundation of the earth that I would be here. Jeremiah 29 and 11, in the KJV, he says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you. In the NIV, he says, I know the plans I have for you. Sounds pretty specific to me. He says, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. So I have to be purpose driven, because the enemy will make me feel like life is just over and it's just not worth it, and you ought to just forget it anyways, and he'll tell you all kind of crazy things. You ought to just take some pills and go to sleep. You got to cast that thing down and say the devil is a lie. You got to say, no, I shall live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. He's going to satisfy me with long life and show me his salvation, right? And so, you know, you say I'm here on purpose, but you know, but my mom and daddy say, you know, I was the third one and they was only planning on having two, but God was planning on you being here. So you are not the product of your parents' passion. You are the product of the purposes of God. Even though they weren't planning on you, God was planning on you, and he knew you would be here. So you can't be emotionally driven. You got to be purpose driven, and your purpose has to come from the Word of God. Does that make sense? All right. So if I'm going to overcome, I must be number one, purpose driven. If I'm going to overcome, I must be number two, I must be principle driven. The Bible is full of prophecy, promises, and principles, right? For every prophecy, for every promise, and for every principle, there is a faith process to bring it to pass. The will of God is not automatic, but if I can take these principles in the Word of God, right, and understand, watch this, that the power is in the Word. You got it? That's where the power is, y'all. It's in the Word, all right? That the power is in the Word. Watch this. And so I have conviction that if I'm willing and obedient, then I'll eat the good of the Lamb. I have conviction that if I obey and serve him, then I'll spend my days in prosperity and my years in play. I have conviction that if I do it God's way, I'm going to get God results in my life, because I'm principle driven. I see the Word of God. Watch this. But I have a conviction of the Word of God. I'm going to do it God's way so I can get God results in my life. Right? Does the Word of God teach us to have good character? Yes, it does. Does the Word of God teach us to have integrity? Yes, it does. Does the Word of God teach us to love one another? Yes, it does. And so it doesn't matter how I feel. I need to take my feelings and put them in my back pocket and do what the Word of God says. Isn't that right? Yeah. No, it doesn't. Like, if somebody comes up to me this afternoon and cuss me out, I mean real good, right? You got it. I don't have the right. Because I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. I'm a peculiar person. You got it? And so what happens is I don't have the right. Watch this. Because I have submitted my life to the Lord Jesus. You got it? And I don't have the right to go back at them. I have the right to forgive them and to love them. Isn't that right? You got now I ain't got to go to lunch with them. Praise the Lord. But I do, watch this, I can love them and leave them alone, but I don't have the right to lash back because they lash at me. Because y'all know how we can do. You don't mess with the wrong one. You understand? That's not God's way. Even though our flesh, watch this now, our flesh is like automatic pilot. I mean, you can be happy. It's a great day. You know, you know everything. I mean, the life is good. All, you know, you done got paid. All the bills are paid. You got plenty of money left in the bank. The marriage is going good. The kids are going good. Even the dog and the cat are acting right. Like, everything is going the way, you know, and y'all go to the mall. You got it? And you, some guy brushes by. You didn't even think about, oh, excuse me. He turned around. Who? And all of a sudden, automatic, it's like, you're like, mayday, mayday. You know, it's just like you are ready, but that's not God's way. So we have to temper that and allow the fruit of the Spirit to be in operation in our lives. Does that make sense? It's okay. I know Jesus is working on some of y'all. Praise the Lord. Let him keep on working. All right. If I'm going to overcome, let's rehearse. I must be number one, purpose driven. I must be number two, principle driven. And then number three, I like this one. I must be patience driven. I must be patience driven. Patience is the ability to handle delay and remain in joy. So even though it has not happened yet, I still believe God. Even though it has not happened yet, I'm still in joy. Even though it has not happened yet, I have a firm conviction that it's just a matter of time. You got it? Weeping may endure for a night, but I know joy comes in the morning. Weapons may form, but they will not prosper. I might bend, but I will not break. I have to have a discipline to continue in the word against all opposition. This young man is teaching up in here. Yes, he is. Right? So I got to have a discipline to continue in the word against all opposition. John 8 and 31 and 32, Jesus is talking and he says, if you continue in my word, watch this, ye are my disciples, disciplined ones indeed. Verse 32 says, and ye shall know the what class? Truth, and the truth shall make you free. Let me say it like this, and you shall know the truth, and the truth that you know is going to make you free. It's, watch this, because you have to, that's what Jesus says, you shall know the truth. Isn't that right? You got it? And so for it to make me free, I have to know truth. So it is the truth that I know that makes me free. So if I go to the doctor, watch this, and the doctor says, well, come back. I'm really not sure. I think I might have saw something. I need to check further. Come back in 3 weeks. Either in those next 3 weeks, am I going to live in faith or am I going to live in fear? Am I going to live in freedom or am I going to live in bondage? Am I going to allow the enemy to work overtime or am I going to be free based on the truth that I know that Jesus bore my sickness and infirmity on a tree, that he took 39 stripes, and because of those stripes, I'm already healed. So every time the enemy tries to come at me, I cast it down, replace it by the word, and thank God in advance that I'm already healed in Jesus' name. Does that make sense? Yeah, everybody say discipline, discipline. Yeah, yeah. My continuance in the word develops discipline. Discipline is enforced obedience. I'm going to make myself do some things. You got it? Did you not know that the writer says, I will bless the Lord at all times? In other words, I am going to set my will that this is what I'm going to do, not some of the time, but every time. All right? Discipline is a commitment to continue in the word regardless of what it looks like. Discipline is a matter of my confidence, I love this, in the accuracy of his word. That God, watch this, that God is always on point, has always been on point, and will always be on point. God has always come through, and he will always come through. So my discipline is a matter of my confidence, not in me, but in the accuracy of his word, that it shall not return unto him void. That he cannot lie and that he will not change. And to the degree I line myself up with his will, I line my thoughts with his thoughts, my ways with his ways, I'll see him do supernatural things in my life. Can I give you one more? All right. Well, that's good. If you want to clap, go ahead and clap. It's a good place to clap. My discipline is anchored in my belief that God can do something supernatural in my life. One of my favorite sayings when I'm in faith and manifestation has not showed up yet, it's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. When you're believing for something and it hadn't showed up yet, don't sweat it. It's just a matter of time. People who know it hadn't showed up yet who start coming to ask you, don't be bothered by them. It's just a matter of time. You got it. You know, when people like that, or even if the devil start talking to you, I tell you, you just keep going to bed and getting up. You just keep going to bed and getting up. It is just a matter of time. The Bible says in Mark, the 4th chapter, he says, the kingdom of God is as if a man would sow seed and into the ground. And the Bible said he would go about his normal progression of night, day and night and day and night. And watch this. And over the process of time, the Bible says that the seed would spring up and he knoweth not how. First the blade, then the ear, and then after that, the full corn in the ear, full manifestation, has showed up. And so he goes through his normal progression of life. What does he do? He keeps going to bed and getting up. He keeps going to bed and getting up. He's not worried because he's trusting God, and that's the key for your life or for my life. All right. Oh, Philippians 1 and 28. You got time for a little bit more? It says, and in no way be alarmed or intimidated in anything by your opponents, for such constancy and fearlessness on your part is a clear sign, a proof and seal for them of their impending destruction. The devil is going down. He said, but it's a clear sign for you of deliverance and salvation, and that too from God. See, that's why Jonah says salvation is of the Lord. You got it? Anytime you get brought out of anything, it was because of God. That's why the writer says it's the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. And even though you might have had a part to play with it, it's the wisdom that God gave you to get out of the situation. So it still always goes back to God. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so the writer just tells us, don't blink. Yeah. You just don't blink. You got it. Look at your neighbor and tell him, don't blink. Yeah, yeah. Now look at your other neighbor, your second choice. I don't know why you're the second choice, but tell him it's not over. It's not over. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Everybody say, don't blink. It's not over. As long as you have breath in your body, winning is possible for you. That's what you got to understand. If God be for you, he's more than the whole world against you. Man. Fight's not over till you win. If you see me in a fight with a bear, help the bear because he's going down. Like, I got my mind made up. I got my heart fixed that my conviction is in the Word of God. And if I can find the promise in the Word of God, I'm going to hold fast to my profession of faith without wavering, for I know he is faithful, that promise. As a believer, sometimes you got to learn how to take a licking and keep on ticking. Sometimes you got to go through the valley of the shadow of death. Sometimes you got to learn how to lift up your head, oh, ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting door. Because I'm here to tell you, you're not walking to victory, but you're walking in victory. You are not going to win. You are already winning. You're not going to be victorious. You are already victorious. Give the Lord a big hand praise. Oh, my, my, my. Everybody say, if you had time. Y'all know what that means, right? I got a minute and 41 seconds, and I got about 20 minutes of lesson. So I'm going to give that to you in the next minute and 35 seconds. All right. So everybody say, stay with him. Stay with him. All right. Real strong, if you had time. If I had time, I would explain to you that my resolve to overcome is beyond compromising excuses. That excuses are an exemption from responsibility and the crutch from the uncommitted. And as a child of God who walks by faith, I don't make excuses. I make it happen. Somebody said, if you had time. If I had time, I would tell you that my resolve is beyond camaraderie encouragement. If nobody encourages you like David, sometime you got to learn how to just encourage your own self. Somebody said, if you had time, if you had time. If I had time, I would explain that my resolve to overcome is beyond circumstantial evidence. It doesn't matter what it looks like. My criteria is the Word of God. I'm going to let the Word of God be my compass. And if I follow the Word of God, it's going to take me right to a place of victory. Somebody say, if you had time. If I had time, I would explain that my resolve to overcome is beyond beyond convenient effort. I may have to do some things that I wasn't planning on doing, but it's okay because I know that sacrifice sets in motion the supernatural power of God. It gets God's attention and it causes him to move. When I first got here, I was planning on giving one thing. Hello, somebody. And when I sat down, he told me another number. Well, I can't back up now because if God be for me, he's more than the whole world against me. And so now, watch it, because I obey God, the floodgates of heaven about to open up and all my prayers about to be answered. Somebody say, if you had time. I would explain my resolve to overcome is beyond the critic's embellishment, that persecution is only effective to the degree that I need acceptance from the one that's talking. If I don't need acceptance, it really don't matter. It don't matter because angels are on assignment to keep me in all my ways, and in my pathway is life and not death. So I'll take the shield of faith and quench every fiery one of the wicked one. Great is the peace of my children, for they taught of the Lord. There's nothing missing, nothing lacking, nothing broken in my life. So I don't worry. I'm happy because everything is all right. Oh, my God, my God, my God. Somebody say if you had time. Now, I added this one in this morning, and I gave you that my resolve. Now, if you would look at all of them, it's BCE, beyond compromising excuses. BCE, beyond camaraderie encouragement. BCE, beyond circumstantial evidence. But God said, give them one that is based on. So I got to stay with the BCE. So it is based on my covenant expectation. Oh, my God. Because I'm in covenant with God, because I am a giver, because Jesus is already seated at the right hand of the throne of the Father, there's nothing that the enemy can do. And the writer says, by nothing, by any means, shall be able to hurt me. So it doesn't matter what it looks like, what it feels like, what I see, what others are saying. I'm not moved by what I see, only by what I believe. I'm not going to win. I'm already winning. Somebody say, if you had time, if you had time. Somebody, if I had time, I would explain it. It is no secret what God can do. That what he's done for others, he'll do for you. The writer says, I was sinking deep in sin and far from the peaceful shore and very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. Thought life was over, but because I'm in covenant with God, the Bible said, but the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. And from the waters, he lifted me. Now safe am I. You know what the writer said? Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help. When my mama couldn't help and my daddy couldn't help and the government couldn't help and nobody. Love lifted me. And the Bible said God is love. And the Bible said he's not only omnipotent, he's not only omniscient, but he's omnipresent, meaning that he's with you everywhere you go. I got to calm down. I got to close this thing. So he's with me in Walmart. He's with me in Target. He's with me at the doctor's office. He's with you on your job. Watch it. And not only is he with you, but he's with your children and your children's children. So even though you can't get to him right now, don't you worry about a thing. Because he's already sent his angels charge over them to keep them in all their ways. What a friend we have in Jesus. I got to close. Somebody just give God a big praise all over the building. I just had to push you just a little bit. I just had to push you. You know, every once in a while, we just need somebody to push us a little bit. Naaman needed somebody to push him a little bit. The girl said, had he asked you to do a hard thing, you'd have done that. So he just needed a little bit of a push. Next thing you know, he goes down to that dirty, muddy river. He goes down unclean, but he comes up clean just because he was pushed. Abraham needed a push. He was starting to doubt and wasn't sure. But God said, no, you go out to the sea and count the stars and tell the stars. He said, you count as many as you can, so shall thy seed be. It wasn't that he wasn't in faith. He just needed a push. He just needed a push. Peter needed a push. Yeah, Peter needed. But Jesus, we've been fishing all night. My granddaddy is a fisherman. My daddy is a fisherman. I'm in line to take the business over. I know what you're saying, but Jesus just used the boat. But Peter, just stop talking. Sometime we got to learn how to just stop talking. Stop reasoning things out and just launch out into the deep. I got to stop. Can I tell you one that might shock you? Even Jesus needed a push. Oh, no, not my Lord and not my Savior. But the Bible said that angels had to come and minister to Jesus in the garden. And Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done. Sometimes you just need a push. Sometimes you just need a push. I got to stop. Give the Lord a big hand praise. I'm your cut man. I'm your faith coach. If you watch boxing, you know what a cut man can't get inside the ring. He's got to be over in the corner outside the ring, and he's watching you, and he's yelling, doing this and don't do that. And when you come over and get in the corner, if you got cuts, and he's starting to, you know, putting the salve on it and getting you good, and say, hey, quit going to the left so much, start going to the right. It's my job to tell you, quit talking doubt and unbelief and start saying what the Word of God says. I'm going to push you right into your destiny. Can I give you one more scripture, then we're going home? Amos 9 and 13. Somebody say these two words. Say, yes, indeed. He said, it won't be long now. In other words, God is about to do something supernatural in your life just to encourage your faith. It is about to happen. It is just a matter of time. That's why you got to get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. He said, things are going to happen so fast, your head will swim. One thing fast on the heels of the other. He said, you're not going to be able to keep up with it. Everything is going to happen all at once. And everywhere you go, oh my God, blessings on top of blessings. He said, like wine pouring off the mountains and the hill. He said, I'm going to make everything right for you again. Stop, because they're going to keep pushing it. It is time out for the schemes of the enemy. There is nothing new under the sun. There, you gotta understand, he got his same old bag of tricks. Y'all sit down. Just let's close. Give him that metacritical music. Just imagine if you'd have been up here. They wouldn't have let me go home today. I saw him looking at you. I wasn't studying, though. We all need somebody to push us. We all need somebody to push us. I need people to push me. You need people to push you. Because, unfortunately, life is not always like that. Sometimes life is like that, and then you kind of plateau, and then you go up a little bit. You know, sometimes you feel like you're going like, but regardless of the journey, Jesus is with you. Regardless of the situation, angels are on assignment to keep you in all your ways. And you're winning even when it looks like you're losing. And you can never, ever move away from that. And so if you're in a situation that looks tough now, you got to start talking, I'm winning. And quit having this mentality, well, when I win and when I get my breakthrough. And when, no, I'm winning right now. I'm winning right now. Jesus, the Bible says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Well, let's and I know I got to go, it's 12:30, but if we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus has already done his part. So the only thing left is my confession, the word of my testimony. So if I say the wrong thing, I'm probably going to be in there a while. But if I start speaking life and speaking the right thing, I'm going to get out of that situation. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. Believers are praying all over the building. I want you to just take a moment. We're going to leave in just a few minutes and just say, Lord, what are you saying to me? And I believe that God is speaking to you today. Lord, what are you saying to me? For one of you, he might be saying, well, you know, you need to work on this. And the other one, he says, you know, I've been telling you to do that and you haven't done it yet, so do that. Just whatever it is. For some of you, God, he gave me this lesson just to encourage you. You're on the right road. You're doing the right thing. And for some of you, God's just saying, just keep holding on. Hold on to your faith. Hold on to you. Don't look at the situation. Don't say, I've been in this situation for a long time. Hold on to your faith. Because you are going to come through this. And you're going to come out on top. And when you come out on top, you're going to have a testimony to help others along the way. And so, Father, we thank you. I set my faith with every person in this room. Some are believing for things in their relationships, while others are believing for things for healing to take place, and others are believing for increase, and Others are dealing with stress and fear and anxiety, and we just curse all of it at the authority of the name of Jesus. And I thank you for the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, that guards their heart and mind through Christ Jesus. I thank you, Father, that as of today, that even if they got a little weary, that they're back in the fight. They've got the revelation, and they're going to keep going, but they're going to keep going in faith. So on this week, Father, it's our big giving day. We've sacrificed. So as of today, because the seed is in the ground, I declare the supernatural in their lives in Jesus' name. I declare on this week, we'll start seeing testimonies that will continue for the weeks and the months ahead in Jesus' name. The three things that they're writing down that they're believing for, that those will be crossed off before they know it, and they'll have to write some new things in Jesus' name. I declare this is our season of grace and favor. This is our season of supernatural. That this is our season where our faith is unshaken and blessings are flowing like never before in our lives. And so, Father, we give you praise for it. And so, Father, thank you for how you've strengthened us. Help us to be a witness so we can strengthen others. We give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Can you give the Lord a big hand? Praise all over the building.